Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, and another day of grace that God has extended us, and another day in which we can hear the Word of God rightly divided. And if you have your red books, be turning to page 344. We're singing 1 and 2, I Must Tell Jesus. And stuff as we get together around 9:30 for fellowship and all, God through Paul says to make all things known to the Lord, he gives us what?
Peace.
So you must tell Jesus everything you can. If you're the Son of God, okay, then you're a child of God. Who's your father?
God.
Don't he want to listen to you? Don't he want to you talk to him? And also, that's a wonderful thing that we know that we must tell Jesus. We're in lesson 59 of Fundamentals of Dispensationalism. I know it seems like it's taken 59 lessons to get through something, but we got a few more lessons to go through. I always tell people, I said, hey, we got between now and what? The catching away. So we might as well relax and enjoy ourselves and just grow in the Word of God. And I do appreciate some of the texts and the emails and calls that you get, you're learning. And we love to teach the Word of God and learn to be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what a blessing that is. And we're in lesson 59. We talked last lesson, about the day of Christ is a day when he appears in glory. And the fact that when he does that, we will appear at the judgment seat of Christ, then to be presented to God the Father in the third heaven. And when that happens, it is followed on the earth by the great tribulation period over here, and the last 7 years of the tribulation of what we call the 70th week of Daniel. and that's in chapter 9. We went through the book of Daniel. I don't know if we had it on video or audio, but we did go through Daniel and the chapter 9. And at the end of Christ returns to the earth and sets up his kingdom over there. Now, Revelation chapter 1 and get Isaiah chapter 34. Jeremiah, Isaiah chapter 34. A lot of chapters in Isaiah, you know that?
66.
In Revelation chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a voice as a trumpet. Here John was caught up into the Lord's day, so he could see the things that's going on both in heaven and in earth during that time. And in the middle week of the 70th week, the angels come into heaven and fight against Michael and his angels, and Satan and his angels are cast out. And their positions of government authority in the heavens are abandoned. We talked about the authority and power structure on earth, don't we? We talked about the president, we talked about executive, we talked about judicial, we talked about structures of government here on earth is the same as is in heaven. The earth is a mirror image of what was in the heavens. That's what it's supposed to be. But there's authority up there, and we know who's running that first and second heaven right now, according to scriptures. The prince of power of the air. Who is that?
Satan.
Okay? And who's running the world governments today?
Satan.
Yeah, God of this world. Now, was that the way God planned it? God the Creator, God of the Bible, did he always plan it that somebody else was going to run his system out there? No. God so loved the world, he loved his system, that he gave his only begotten Son, that he died for that. He died to reconcile that system, that his people, back to that government that he formed. Government's not bad, guys. You know, God, that's the fourth institution God ordained. First was free will. Okay, he never violates your free will. And somebody asked the question the other day about the angels have free will. Well, they must have free will because they chose to leave, right? And God didn't abandon, God didn't hold them there. Now, some's in chains of darkness. They must have been some bad dudes up there that they've been from the beginning. Then the second is marriage between a man and woman. Third is a family to bring stability. And third is human government, nationalism. You hear that word out there in a system today, and they think that's a bad word, don't they? What does the world like to hear? International, okay? That's not what God set up as far as human government. But when it's all said and done, there will be a national government on this earth and one in heaven. And who's going to rule and reign? Who's going to be over that?
Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. And when... those positions are repossessed by God, and this is the beginning of the pouring out of the wrath of God right there in the heavens. And when God said he will throw out of his kingdom all things that offend him, Revelation 12 says that the kingdom of God comes first in the heavens. I told you to go to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34, starting with verse 2. Everybody there?
Yep.
Isaiah 34, verse 2. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their enemies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses. And the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all the hosts shall fall down, as a leaf falleth off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edom, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. All the hosts in heaven, who's up there? Are you up there?
No.
What kind of hosts are they talking about?
Angels.
Angelic hosts, yeah. The angelic hosts are up there, and there is to be a shakeup in the government of the heavens. Right now, they're up there doing their thing, following their God, the little g. And the war begins in heaven and comes down to the earth where Edom is. First, God's sword is bathed in heaven. When he stands up and he leaves that throne room of God, he comes down. Michael and his angels are fighting, and his sword is bathed in heaven. And that this takes place prior to the middle of the 70th week. Michael and his angels fight against Satan and his angels. How many names are there in the Bible that,
angelic names?
How many names do you know of angels in the Bible? Their names. You say two.
Two.
You say two.
Fallen angel, you
say three. Okay, you got Gabriel. Michael. You got who else?
Michael.
And who else?
Saint Lucifer.
Lucifer. Okay, so there's three names of that God named those angels, and Michael and Gabriel are big to-do people. It almost as if they're the joint chief of staffs. You know, he's the head of the joint chief of staff, and Michael's coming to fight war. Isaiah chapter 24. Many religions uses Michael in their little, what do you call them, crinkets? Or
Trinkets.
Yeah, the Catholics probably.
Yeah, and you know, they give you Michael to watch over you, right? You know, that type of thing. You wear this, it's Michael, Saint Michael, and that type of thing. Isaiah chapter 24, starting verse 19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth, verse 20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. In that day, the day of the who? The Lord. He is going to punish the host of the high ones on high. So there's a war. There will be a war. And he will go after those angelic rebels up there in heaven. And when he does, he's going to dispose them and throw them out. And he will repossess the government in the heavenly places. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Now you think about that for a second. Is that government in the third heaven up there? Is Lucifer, well, his name's Satan, and all the angelic hosts, he took one third of them, right? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of hosts. Is he up there where the throne room of God, where Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of God? Is Satan up there controlling that?
No.
Okay. So when he says on high, where is Satan at?
First and second.
Below that. That's what we call the first and second heaven. You know, we say this all the time. The blue skies is the first heaven. Then where the stars is at, the hosts are at, that's two. Then where the throne room of God, that's three. How do you get that? From Paul, he said he's a man, whether in the body, out of body, I cannot tell, went to the third heaven, which is what? Paradise. So that third room up there, there's no sinning going on up there.
No.
There's no corruptness going on up there. It's almost like it would have Satan would have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, and the God the Father in subjection. You're not going to put God of the Bible in subjection. You know that, don't you?
Amen.
Yeah. So in that day, there's going to be a repossession of the government in the heavenly places. Revelation chapter 12. Revelations chapter 12, starting with verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their what?
Place.
Their place found any more in heaven. Hey, they got a place up there. You have a place down here. They have a place down here. Okay, spiritually, you look at some people like, oh, he's the devil. You know, that type of thing. You swear up and down he's possessed, that type of thing. But the thing is, their place were found in where? Any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out unto the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, where?
In heaven,
now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Notice that the kingdom begins where? In heaven.
In heaven.
What did God, when Jesus Christ was on this earth, he didn't teach people the Lord's Prayer is not what the people said today. You know that? Our Father who art in heaven, what do you guys call that? Or what does the world call that?
Lord's
Prayer. That's not the, what are they praying? For the heavens to come down to earth. Okay, that's all they wanted, the heavens to earth. They wanted heaven on earth. Many of you been through your lifetimes and got what you want, and this has been heaven on earth for you. You know, and then as you get older, sometimes it's not so much heaven on earth, because the things that you got, the things that you prepared for, the things that you wanted, they're dissolving, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my heart bleeds for people that been married about all their life, and their hope was one day to be sitting on a porch, rocking porch, and drinking their iced tea with their loved ones, and their loved ones already died, or they're in homes and different things. So there's things of this world is what called is temporal. I think we know that. You know, I'm looking around. There's many of us are getting that age right now, and they might be listening too, and we're like, I didn't prepare for this day. And I don't know if you can really can, but maybe you can make it easier on one of your loved ones if one dies. But Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down upon to you, having a great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
Mm.
Now, what's going up there in the heavens? Are they? They're rejoicing now, like, hey,
right,
it's clean. You know what Job says about the heavens? Don't he talk about they're unclean? So that first, second heaven up there is not what you think it is right now. I tell people all the time, before you have the written word of God, God's zodiac, God's plan of redemption, God's told a different story before the fall. You had Virgo as the woman, the virgin woman, and you had Leo. Now you look at the zodiac. I used to do this. The only reason I got the paper to look at is my zodiac. What is it going to say for me about today? And it's lined up differently, Aries and all that stuff. So that's Satan's doing. And you got people out there today is trying to still contact with those stars and let the moon and the stars tell them what to do, and they all messed up. You know, the psychics and stuff like that. People pay thousands of dollars on that. I remember one time I went to a woman wanted to read my palm. I was down in Virginia, and she grabbed my palm and she started doing this and that. She said, I had my girlfriend with me at the time, and they said, she said, you're going to get married before him, and you're going on a long trip. I'm like, that ain't gonna happen. Well, She got married for me, and I went on a long trip. And next thing you know, I'm in Coney Island, and I'm looking for a psychic. And I went up to her, and then she opened up her little, she had a Bible. And she said, put $5 in here. And I tell you, you know, you're talking. I'm like, okay. And she stopped short. She said, now, if you put $50 over here.
Oh, God.
I'm like, no. Because I want to know what, if that woman down there was right, I was going on a long trip, wonder what this woman's going to tell me. People buys into that every day. Hey, there's preachers out there is in the business of doing that, spiritual show business.
The Reagans
did that, you know, too. You know what I mean? It's just like, think about it. There's many ministries has been built off of superstition, false, fake, phony, and false. Might do a message about that one day through the scriptures. That's what it is. But Revelation chapter 12 says, but the Lord, Satan has but a short time. God has some saints left there to dwell in heaven. Us, not the United States. With me? Not the European Union. That is us, the U.S., us, the body of Christ. God has left us there to take over the position left vacant. So in the day of the Lord, Jesus Christ, we shall be blameless, sincere, held without offense. God is going to shake the heavens and shake out all that offended him there. Boy, we wish that happened right now, wouldn't it? I mean, some of us would much rather be taken out alive than take the dirt bath. But the people that's taken the dirt bath before us, well, guess what? If they're saved, they get resurrected before us. That type of thing. So we should glory in that because we are in Christ and you are going to be holy, sincere, without offense. He will place us in those positions that are vacant. This is some of the stuff you find in Paul's epistles. This is some of Stavant's mystery truths. You know, we talk about reproof. We talk about doctrine, reproof, correction. We talk about the doctrine in Romans. There's also doctrine in Ephesians, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of doctrine is taught in Ephesians? Mm-hmm. Woe is me. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing's ever going to happen again. I've got to be saved again. No, he talks about the advanced mystery truth that we're seated in heavenly places. We already have all spiritual blessings. Hey, that's good news in a dark world today. Mm-hmm. And the day of wrath, the day of his wrath begins in heaven and extends down to earth. It does not begin on earth. Many of us probably wish, boy, we were this wrath would happen right now. You know, we talk about hurricanes. Remember Katrina? What did they say about Katrina? Oh, God's telling them homosexuals down there in New Orleans. He's mm-hmm. cleaning them out. You heard that all through the religious system. Now, as the brother said earlier, in Florida, was they Christian people in Florida when that hurricane came through there the other day?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. God does not, what does he say? Respecter of persons. He don't respect you no more than he respects you. So the thing is, we live in a sin-cursed world, and this world's been turning ever since Satan corrupted Adam and Eve, and the Lord has not stopped this earth and what's going on in it. Boy, we wish it would happen. You know, and we're in a dispensation of grace, and God is dispensing what today? Wrath and judgment.
No.
He's coming back with a sword. He's going, what's he doing?
Grace and mercy.
Grace and mercy and peace. And that's hard for us to realize, like, Lord, give me something in my hand that I can control. No, it's grace, mercy, and peace. And that's our ministry of reconciliation to wit what God was in Christ, reconcile the world unto him, that we have a ministry of reconciliation, that he's not imputing trespasses and sins against people. And that's a message we can say, listen, right now, God is not imputing trespasses and sins to you, so there's going to be a day that he's going to. So you better get right with the Lord because it could happen tomorrow. You know, we talked about a couple weeks ago that how somebody said that the rapture of the church is going to take place and the end of the world's come. Where are you at? We're raptured out here?
We're still here.
We're still here. There you go. We're still here. And that's why, and Paul says in 2 Thessalonians not to be worried about though the day of Christ is at hand. That's where we started back over in 2 Thessalonians when we was breaking this down. If you were on earth, what part of the day of Christ will you see? In the day of Christ and the day of the Lord Jesus Christ and the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, which day are you going to see? Paul gives the full title of that day. And the Jehovah that will come and do all that is Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, that is the day of Jehovah, the day of the second person of the Godhead. Jehovah is a name given to God who?
The Father.
Yeah. And God the Son and God the Spirit is in different passages. And the passage speaking of Him coming back and doing all this is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The full title of Him. And there's people in the past, who just calls Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? You know, the disciples ever call Him just Jesus? Called Him Lord, they called Him Master, they called Him, but there's one certain person that didn't call Him Master and Lord.
Judas.
Mm-hmm. And the devils and his angels say, Jesus, Jesus, we know. Well, we don't know you, that type of thing. You know, just throwing His name out freely. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's how we should call Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the manifest person of the Godhead. And what 2 Thessalonians is really saying is, how do you know that the rapture, go back to Thessalonians in case you guys have forgotten.
2 Thessalonians?
Yes, sir. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And what do we know about the Thessalonians? Somebody was troubling them, okay? Listen, do they people trouble you today? If they find out that you are a true Bible-believing dispensationalist son of God, child of God, does some of them still trouble you with certain things like, yeah, where's your God now? The rapture's already taken place. We're in a tribulation. See, Biden's the Antichrist is running the world. You know that ain't true. You do know that ain't true.
Yes,
yeah. And chapter 2, verse 2 says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be in trouble neither by the Spirit nor by the Word nor by the letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, and the son of perdition. Look, when how do you know the rapture has not taken place already? Has not come already?
Well, we're still here.
People were telling the Thessalonians that the rapture was over. It already happened. And they thought they were in the great tribulation period. Has there ever been a time period that you know in history that a true Bible-believing Christians, if I can call them Christian, they was first called Christians in Antioch, so before that, that was probably the Jewish religion. Have they ever been a period of time where there was peace and serenity around a bunch of Bible believers? You know, you might think that when King David and them was, you know, they was in power and stuff like that, but wasn't there still wars?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it still people just trying to overtake them? Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a time period, I believe, in your life, since the time you was born to the time you die, there's going to be, since you proclaim to be a Bible-believing Christian, that you're always going to have somebody coming after you. Always somebody trying to doubt you.
The adversary doesn't take a day off.
It does not take a day off. And guess what? Your human viewpoint don't take a day off either. I'm not good enough. Why am I doing this stuff? You're beating yourself up over something that you know who you are in Christ Jesus. How How do you know that the rapture did not take place 100 years ago?
We're still here.
We're still here is one of them.
The wrath of it.
Just look around. The things that are going to happen after the rapture take place are not happening.
Right.
See, people will chew you up and spit you out over stuff like this because they think your Bible's not real. They think God made a mistake. See, it contradicts itself. No, the rapture has not taken place. The catching away that Paul exposed or told us about in a mystery program has not taken place yet. And people try to put time limits, dates and stuff. That's not right. God through Paul never tells you the time, the day. He tells you there's some things that's supposed to happen, and the things that are going to have to take place are not happening. The only thing keeping those happenings back, keeping the Antichrist from being revealed, restraining it, is what?
Long-suffering.
Not only body of Christ, but what?
Long-suffering.
Long-suffering, not only long-suffering, but what? What is it?
Holy Spirit.
Not Holy Spirit, but what?
The wrath.
The wrath would be here if that's not work. We're holding back that.
Say the question again.
The dispensation of grace.
Dispensation of grace. That was the question. The only thing keeping that happening, keeping this postponed, keeping that at bay, is the dispensation of grace. Now, does your Bible say, where sin abound, grace did much more abound?
Yes.
Does it say that?
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Are there a lot of sin going on right now?
Yes.
So if there's a sinning world going on out there, what is grace going to do?
Abound.
So that grace is continuing because of sin is abound. The dispensation of grace is what's holding it back. A lot of people say the body of Christ is holding that back. And when this is over, that will come quickly. You do not see a falling away yet, do you? A falling away like Paul described a falling away. Now there's a lot of departing. And I do call it a falling away when people just falls away. You know, but there's a departing. And that a man of sin is revealed, etc. So you know that the rapture has not come yet. That's why I stand. We talk about drawing lines. People draw a line, big, thick line. I got a thin red line, okay, when it comes to the pre-trib rapture. That's what this church is built on, that doctrine. Okay? That's one of the doctrines. If people don't agree with it, then that's where I draw a line and say, you're welcome to come. You have to appreciate that type of thing. Preachers are that way. If I get to know a preacher and he says, well, I'm not too, you know, I don't think there's a preacher at Rapture. I say, okay, I know where you're at. I'll move on. That type of thing. It's very, very important to know that you're not in that tribulation period. And there's people out there telling you you already are, aren't they? And they tell you that again. And they tell you that again. And I'm getting frustrated at the world right now and at people with all this stuff's going on, and they've been lied to for 20, 30 years in their church, and they're still in those churches listening to that lie. And they're probably wondering, like, I don't understand it. And they lay their Bible down, and then they're still going in there, and they're still going in there, and they go, this ain't right, but he wouldn't lie to me. Hey, is that preacher a man? You think a man lied to another man?
Sure.
Now, in a minute, what? I mean,
or
but the thing
ignorant.
Is. Huh?
Or be ignorant.
Be ignorant. And see, that's another thing. Ignorant means not knowing. And if you're a Bible believer, shouldn't you know this?
Yes.
But then there's willfully ignorance. When you willfully ignore what God is saying for the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace, I'm like, you know, where's your hope? That's where I draw a line too, willfully ignore. Hey, I was ignorant all my life, and I'm still ignorant. And I hope I have the ability, or what do you call it, the willingness to learn. When you got a teachable spirit, I don't care how young you are or how old you are, if you got a teachable spirit, you'll get this stuff. Listen, I'm an uneducated man. I didn't go to college, that type of thing. But this Bible has educated me more so than any wisdom of this man's world could ever do.
Amen.
And the thing is, you in your own mind and that own spirit, you got the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The same spirit's in me as in you if you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look, open up this Bible. We talked about different versions out there. And the group of men I was with the other day, they each one of them had a different Bible. And I had to look at them when I was reading out mine. Some of them stopped short and looked up, like, why do you continue reading? That type of thing. You're looking at people. And then what I'm going to say, what I told is, look, your Bibles contain the Word of God. They do. But is it the inherited, infallible Word of God, pure words tried? Well, the answer to that is what?
No.
No. So you got to know that you have the authorized version of the King James Bible, and I put my, there's words in there I can't even pronounce.
Amen.
You know, and there's words, there's some of it, but I got to believe it's still the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, and I have to put faith in that. And that's what you got to do when you come to this. Progressive revelation, what we're teaching about, teaches you to not just take one piece of the title. You take all of the information about the full title, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see that day is a day of His wrath. And we will participate in the heavenly restoration program. And that's something that was not made known.
Mm-mm.
And I challenge people when I talk, and I get to talk to them about Jesus Christ being ahead. In a body. Find that in the Old Testament that you want to believe it's to you. You cannot find that there. So it's a mystery program that was given to God through Paul that was hid in him before the foundations of the world. Those verses mean something. And once you got that, you know me, I tell people all the time, I don't know it all. Don't claim to know it all. But I know what it's not. I don't know that much. You know, I had some issues with my phone. You know how you do updates on your phone sometimes and there's a glitch. And I had a glitch. I couldn't speak to text. It just wouldn't work. And I need that. But sometimes when I talk to it, it has no idea what I'm putting out there. It gives me a total distant word. No, that's not what I'm looking for. But anyway, it wouldn't work. And finally, I was on the road, and I was dealing with it, you know, just saying, well, I get home. Well, they tell me when you get home, plug it into your computer, and whenever you do a backup, a lot of people do backups in the cloud, so you should always back up your phone in case anything happens to it. You can go back to that day, back it up, and it re-puts back on it. Well, they was telling me if I back it up in the cloud, that problem, that software problem is still there. So they wanted me to plug it up to the computer and do a hard reset. Wipe it completely clean, okay, which is no big deal. And it takes a little time if you got time, and I had some time. And I backed it up and pulled it up, and it happened again. So I'm like, wait, something's wrong. So I restored it as a new phone. So I got the people online. And I'm telling this lady, she's from down Georgia, talking, you know, like a Georgian talks, Southern, sipping on her tea, just saying. And she was like, and I was telling what I'm doing. She goes, "You should come work for us." She said, "You're doing everything what I told you to do." I said, "Well, I've been here for a while." And she looked up and she said, "You have been with us for a long time." She said, "But you need to come work for us." And I always tell people, I said, I should have wrote the book
on what not
to do for dummies. I'd be a millionaire right now, right? If not a billionaire.
Really awful track, what not to do.
Yeah, there you go. That would even work. So the thing is, I know what not to do. I know not to put delete this. I used to delete all these files, and it was operating files in the past. And then we had an IBM computer. IBM was big business back in the day. And they still are in the world system. And I'd wipe this stuff on. I'd call them up. And before the warranty wore out, they knew my first name and they say, Ed, what did you do wrong this time? So we don't have to be that way. So I don't want to be wrong. You don't want to be wrong when it comes to this.
Amen.
And the heaven and Christ being made the permanent one in the heavenly places, while Israel participates in him being the person down on this earth, the agency on this earth. Progressive revelation is extremely important to follow, to acknowledge and recognize, keeping it honestly dealt with where it belongs. A lot of mistakes can be taken out of one piece rather than the whole piece. Progressively, God worked through the Word of God. Could you imagine him dumping everything on Abraham at one time? Could him in his human viewpoint, he couldn't understand it. But what he did do, what God gave him,
he believed
by faith. And he moved on. That's why when you think about Abraham, did Abraham believe God in circumcision or uncircumcision?
Uncircumcision.
Okay. Now, then he got circumcised, right? Okay. Now, do you believe God in circumcision or uncircumcision when you trusted Christ died for your sins? What state were you in?
Unsaved.
Okay, not only saved, but you also was uncircumcised in the flesh. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel's, strangers from the covenant of hope, and without God in this world. That group of young men, when I showed them that verse, I don't know about you guys, but nobody showed me that in my young days. And that's like, whoa, what? I was told that I was in God, I was in Christ from the time I was born, you know, 8, 9 years moving up there. That verse is not true. Dispensationally. So when he believed God in uncircumcision, that includes us. So that promise that God made that he was going to have a nation and a land, where's that at? That's over here.
On the earth.
Ages to over time. Here. That's that promise of eternal security in that nation and land. Now, we find out through Paul, our security and our responsibility and our destination is where?
Heavenlies.
And I know some of you want to be right back here after the Lord comes back and he sits up there in the new heaven and new earth. You may get a chance, but I guarantee you when you're in Christ and you got the mind of Christ, you ain't going to worry about this stuff down here.
Mm-mm.
You're going to be glorifying God, whatever position he gives us. You're going to know that. And just to recap, and we'll pick up this next week. Well, we'll stop there, and because I know I went extremely fast. But when you get to the day of Christ and day of the Lord, what troubled the Thessalonians? Somebody was coming and telling them that the rapture already happened.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get out there and you start talking to people in the world system and in the religious system, they'll tell you the same thing. And Thessalonians is probably one of the first books, you heard me say this before, that Paul wrote, and it deals with the catching away, and it settled it. Galatians, if you want to say Galatians was his first book, Galatians deals with saved by faith, you're not under works, you're not under law, settled it. So those two books right there are very, very important in this world. And I'm talking about the religious world. The worldly world out there, they couldn't care less. But when you're out there and you watch things taking place, you have to think, where are you, God, don't you? Why is this going on? And we can sit in a bubble. We can hide in a closet. We can do anything we can, but it's still out there. And that world is evil out there. It's dark. And it's dark, and it seems like it's getting darker every day. It seems like the darkness is just coming in. I think of the darkness that one of the plagues, right? Darkness. What the Bible says, it was gross darkness, thick in their face, and it came across that land in Egypt. But there's one little light was shining, down in Goshen. And who was that?
Israel.
And they supposed to have been a light in this dark world in time past. And the Gentiles down here, us uncircumcised people, were supposed to come to that light. And they were supposed to give us who God was of the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But at the time when that was, after they came out of Egypt and come through there, how well was they a light in this earth when Jesus Christ showed up? Was they a flame burning?
Mm-hmm.
You know? No, they're already worshiping different stars and Molech and whoring around with other gods. Now, what kind of light would that be? What kind of light would this church be today if we was allowing any type of religion come in here and just have, you know, any type of come up here each week to preach to you?
It goes dim.
It goes dim. It goes dark. It would be no light. And people need to see light in us. People need to know that there is light and a flag that's flying for truth.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there actually in this age, 2022, that's wanting truth. That's exciting, guys.
Amen.
Whether you think of it or not, there's somebody out there will listen. And you can share that good news to them. Any questions, comments before we close?
One question.
Yes.
Job, in the book of Job, Satan went before the Lord in the third heaven, apparently. I didn't think he was supposed to be in the second or the first heaven. So he was allowed in there to be an accuser?
Well, I don't know if he went to third heaven or to the sides of the north. And now I may be wrong, I'll stand corrected, but there's a government structure up there. And you got 420 elders on the side of the north out there conducting government stuff. So I'm thinking he went there.
Yeah.
Not to the throne of God. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but the thing is, he's not there today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's out in the first and second heaven running that government out there. But he did go in front of...
are beings in outer space, what we call outer space. And it's a Star Wars going on.
Well, it's going to be a light war when he comes out of that heaven. And I do believe that when that happens, that Antichrist, the heavens are going to be opened up when he's there. And he's going to see God come out of that heaven. And it's going to be a light show like you never seen before.
How long does that take?
He's got to come out of the throne room of God. He comes down through the heavens and cleanses the heavens. And then he comes around the earth, and he comes in the earth, and he comes right there, where exactly the same place where Joshua came across that, the Jordan River. You remember they put 12 stones in that river?
Yeah,
walk across. Where are they at?
There.
I believe when that glory of God comes down, it's going to light up like a runway.
Mm-hmm.
Them stones are going to be like that. And he's going to come and he splits that. When they talk about, do you ever sing a song? I believe
he's coming back. Like he
says, I believe he splits the eastern sky.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, wow.
That type of thing. He's coming in exactly the same way. And that's when that war and stuff's going over there. But the heavens got to be cleansed. And when we read about it rolling up like a scroll, he takes it like this and dumps it out. You ever have, how many eat on a mat at a mat at home?
Mm-hmm.
A placemat.
Yeah.
Why do you put a placemat there?
Catch everything.
I really do. you ever take it, just don't keep them crumb forward,
hey,
go like that?
Yep.
That's what that's going to do. It's going to be like a bad apple. When he shakes that tree to get them apples out of the tree, we talked about this before. You know, as a kid out there, you wanted that apple up there. You didn't care about the ones on the ground. And then one on the ground's already ripe, ain't it? But if you ever picked up one, hung, and bite into it, and then it's rotten, you got a worm. I've done that
one of the other half times.
Yeah. You're like, and you turn it over and you spit that out and bite the other side, and it's a little better. Well, that apple up there, I've climbed that tree many a time or tried to take another apple and hit it. My granny's out there, she said, don't shake that tree. Don't get them, because she knew when they fall, and it's time to make apple butter and stuff out, you know? But I wanted that crisp one. I wanted some, not that mushy one.
Was there a snake by the apple?
No. But the thing is, but you wanted that crisp apple. You know, that's me. When I go to a produce stand, I'm hand picking apples. And there's certain apples I'll stay away from. The Red Delicious, I won't touch them. The peeling's bitter, you know. And then the Golden Delicious, you looking at them. You ever eat a Golden Delicious and you go, there's no taste in this. They ain't delicious. But I was watching a thing, I know I'm rambling a little bit. Crab apples was better for you than them Honeycrisp. I love Honeycrisp, but they're full of sugar. But those crab apples, if you want the nutritions, you know how big they are.
Yeah,
I can't find them.
You can't find them
in somebody's backyard.
But that probably been
ugly little things.
Yeah, but you know, I'm talking about in a store, in a produce store. You know, finding them.
Yeah, you won't find them.
Did you have a question, right quick?
Well, I was thinking about what Tom asked, and I can't remember. I was looking to the verse. Where did you tell us to go in Revelation? First.
So what was Revelation 12?
Revelation 12.
That he was accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12. Seven, is that what you're talking about, the war in heaven?
Yeah, it talked about in verse 10 where it said, now has come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser and his brethren is cast down, and which accuse them before our God day and night. Are they still accusing day and night? Like, Satan's fallen angels are still in heaven at their job until they're cast down. So they're not up there rejoicing in their eternal glory. They're not serving the Lord. They're doing the job that they were given until the heavens be rolled up as a scroll and they're cast down to earth. And God is obviously going to rejoice in that, because he says, you know, everybody rejoices that the heavens are cleansed. So are they up there just growling about their job, and you guys think it's, you know, this is so great, and you don't, I mean, are they reveling in the fact that they feel like the one they followed is going to prevail one day? I know they know the truth, but you know how when you just get on a soapbox about something, and in your mind you probably know you're not right, but you're not going to admit it. Like, you're just going to take it to your grave that this is what I believe. And so you think about those angels up there that they've been accusing since the beginning. Oh, they haven't changed their mind. I mean, are they sorry and they think, I don't have a hope, and so they're just keeping their head down and doing their job? Or are they up there that they're still just
Which ones
accusing?
You talking about?
I'm talking about the ones here in Revelation.
But which angels? Which are you talking about?
The fallen. One?
The fallen.
I mean,
well,
he says
they believe a lie, Sherry. They believe a lie and they fall.
They accuse them, our God, day and night. So I know you might not be able to answer the question, but it's curious to know. Are they still accusing day and night? Are they, you know, the angels look at us. Apostle Paul says that we're ministering to angels, body of Christ, because they never saw the peace, grace and peace and long suffering coming. It was hid from them as well. So are the fallen angels up there going, that's not true?
Well,
it's not gonna happen.
That very well could be. But Job chapter 1 verse 9 says that then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught, the accuser? So he's accusing. That's how he does. He accuses. Does Job fear God? And then he put forth our hands now and touch his bones. So he and he curse, and he will curse thee, thy face, in Job chapter 2. So the accuser gets after you to make you part of that. So I just picture what you were saying a few minutes ago. Are the fallen angels up there accusing God night and day? Look at you. Where are you at now? And as far as you're talking about the angelic host, my understanding, they're looking down, never experienced grace before. And they're looking, God, and they're waiting, God, should we go? Should we go? Should we go? That type of thing. And they're learning from us.
Right.
Because when it's said, if we're teaching the angels, so to speak, and we're going to be, don't you know that you're going to judge angels? You're going to be in positions of authority up there. Then you need to know that you're doing the right thing. Because would you want somebody controlling you that's been accused over and over and over and probably guilty and still accused? Over. No. These, I hate to say it, the politicians of the world, they're bad shape, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they're ruling over us. And we're sitting there waiting, taking it day in, day out, day in, day out. And you're like, this ain't right. You know, that type of thing. So as far as being accusing, maybe, I don't know if that answered your question or not. But
you know, in Ephesians 6, when Paul says for us to stand, as he's accusing us and things are coming at us, Paul says stand. The stand there means to stand perfect in Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. unmoved to this way or that way, standing in what you know in Jesus Christ, unmovable.
And having stand, therefore, stand.
And stand, yes.
Stand yep. and withstand.
And withstand, yeah. Yep. Having your loins girded about with truth, the word of God, understanding it, Romans through Philemon.
Well, here the point of the Leon shared, verse 6 says, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers and darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those accusers are coming day in, day out. Since we're working through this a little bit, it's not like Jesus Christ is taking you up, or not Jesus, but they're grabbing you in front of God and say, here, look what he's doing. It's not that. They're accusing you every day, finding that wickedness every day, throwing things at you. And if they can get penetrate them shields and stuff like that in that mind, oh, you feel defeated. You ever feel defeated sometimes?
Absolutely.
And you know when the battle is in heaven? I think it's Colossians where it tells you that Jesus Christ is the head of principalities and powers. They just say, hey, we ain't going to follow him. That's how you know there's a war going on up there. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Same as the world going here.
Yeah, same as
the world. And the war, that spiritual warfare is going to fight in that body from the time you were saved to the time you come to knowledge of the truth. There's a war going on night and day, daily. And that's powerful. Spiritual witnesses. But you're right, the principalities and powers, and when Jesus Christ takes preeminent of the heaven and earth, he's going to have it all. And that Satan and his fallen angels come to this earth, their last day is down here.
Yeah.
And can you imagine those hosts coming to this earth and coming to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't want to ramble, but the Lord of the Rings movies. When that guy comes on this earth, and he's portraying Jesus Christ, he gets some people out at sea, and they come up like spirits that had dead in the sea, comes up, and they come flesh and start fighting. You think about those hosts coming down, and the hosts that Jesus Christ is going to have. Let's close in prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. And Lord, as dim and darkness seems to be all over the earth right now, we know that we can be a light. And what a glory we can be when we get the comfort and knowledge of the Word of God, knowing that we can fight the rudiments of this world off. And we know that the spiritual witnesses that in heavenly places that throws the darts at us daily, that we can overcome that. And Lord, I thank you for the ones that are here today and willing to learn and grow in the nurture of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. And thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.